Now join me in singing our national anthem.
Good evening, church. Would you pray with me, please? Father in heaven, we are a blessed nation to be allowed to live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Lord, many years ago, we chose In God We Trust to be on our motto and on our currency. And Lord, forgive us when we don't trust you. But Father, honor us when we do. Lord, there's so many things that we could pray for today, but you know our hearts. You know what troubles us. You know where we fall short. But Lord, we lift you up as God and Father and Lord of our country. And we ask you to lead and to do in the United States of America what only you can do, and that we will be a light to the rest of the world. And as Lord, as we stop on this day, to honor those that have given their very selves for this country. May we be mindful and respectful, and we pray for the family and loved ones that have lost significant people. And Father, I ask that you will be glorified and lifted up during this service, and thank you again for all the servicemen and women who have done so much to serve our country. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're delighted that you're here in First Baptist tonight, and this is a great church that loves people. So what I'm going to tell you is you have 37 seconds to find three people that you don't know, okay? And then find your seat in 37 seconds. Go.
continue to worship the Lord in song this evening. This again is a prayer just like that last one. God, shed your grace on us. Before we sing this next song, I just want to give you a little background on how this song came to be. Daniel Roberts was a little-known pastor of a rural Vermont congregation when he wrote a song to commemorate the 100th birthday of the Declaration of Independence. Later, the song became the official hymn to celebrate the centennial of the U.S. Constitution. Already, our country had survived attacks from outside its borders and bitter fighting within them. We had gone west all the way to the Pacific, carrying our hopes, our dreams, and our faith with us. Taking this inspiration from Psalm 44, Reverend Roberts wrote this next song.
Show.
Amen. At this time in our service, the music ministry would like to pay tribute to our veterans and active duty. So as we sing your song, play your song that goes with your branch of the service, would you please stand that we can honor you appropriately? You'll see some folks in the choir who will salute. That is just to let you know, because they're all standing, to let you know that's the branch of service that they serve so faithfully in. Please remain standing now as we honor those who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our great freedoms. You may be seated.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you officially to First Baptist Church. I know you've been welcomed already by Brother Todd, but I want to add my thank you for being here tonight. I'm going to introduce two of our speakers here in just a moment. But before I do that, I just want to say a special little something. Many of you know that I'm a veteran, and as a woman veteran, sometimes I think we get overlooked. So the first speaker we're going to have tonight is also a woman veteran, and she actually currently serves in the reserves as well. So I want to just tell you, I want to brag on my husband for just a minute. So the reason we get overlooked oftentimes is because we don't walk around wearing ball caps that say we are a former veteran of such and such service. But my husband does all the time, and we go out to eat oftentimes, and he'll be wearing his hat, and somebody will come up to him and say, "Thank you for your service." And you know what he does? He always says, "She served too." And I always appreciate that, because so many times, as a woman, we don't get recognized because we don't walk around wearing these badges all the time. So I just wanted to say that. And to thank him for being so aware of the fact that I'm very sensitive to the fact that I'm a veteran too. So now, with no further ado, let me introduce our two speakers for tonight. First of all, I want to introduce another woman, Thomasina Walker. She served active duty in the U.S. Army from 2012 to 2016, and is now serving in the Army Reserves. During that time, she served not only at Fort Gordon, Georgia, which is stateside, but she also served at Fort Buckner, Okinawa, with the 53rd Signal Battalion. Her rank was specialist at separation. So when it's time, will you please give Thomasina Walker a warm welcome? Then the second person, and both of these individuals are in the choir. So the second person that I've asked to speak tonight is Tom Crow. Tom served active duty in the U.S. Navy from 1970 to 1974. During the time he served, after basic training in San Diego, California, and Radio Man School, and the High Speed Cord School in Bainbridge, Maryland, he was assigned to his permanent duty station aboard the destroyer USS Richard E. Krause. His rank at discharge in 1974 was third class petty officer, which is an E5. And when Tom comes up, would you please also give him a warm welcome? Thank you.
Evening. So I'm not much of a public speaker, so I've got something to read, so bear with me. So joining the military was never something I wanted to do. Although I was proud of the military and grateful to those that served, to me it was more symbolic of a broken home. As the child of someone who served, it represented missed phone calls, events, birthdays, and holidays. It felt like the cause of a failed familial relationship. So again, it is really important that you keep in mind as I read that my plans for the future never, ever involved the military. In 2011, I graduated high school and figured I'd just do what most high school grads do. I had this grand notion of going to college and starting my adult life. A couple of months in of college, I started getting expenses, and I didn't want to start my life off with thousands of dollars of debt. That's when thoughts of military didn't seem like such a horrible idea after all. I thought maybe if I could adjust my plans just a little, but no way was I going to join the Army. Over the next few weeks, I signed up for the Air Force, or as we so lovingly refer to it in the Army as the Chair Force. I took the placement test, scored pretty well, and honestly started to feel a little excited. All I had left was the physical exam, and I was so healthy I wasn't even concerned about it. I was already formulating some plan to somehow end up in Okinawa, Japan, because that would make joining completely worth it to me. See, I didn't realize it at the time, but that's where I went wrong. Yet again, I was making my own plans. A spontaneous health issue caused the Air Force to say, sorry, you don't qualify. I was a little hurt, but not completely deterred, because there was still some hope. The Navy. I wasn't too excited about the prospect of being stuck on a boat for who knows how long, but Okinawa was still a possibility. I made a list of pros and cons and thought, maybe the Navy is for me. It turns out none of that mattered, because once again, my health derailed my plans. Suddenly, I was left with two major branches to choose from, the Army and the Marines. At this point, I feel like God dropped me into some sort of mystical hallway filled with spectacularly gilded doors. But every time I reached for one, he'd just say, ha, joke's on you, that's actually just a nice painting. I mentally threw my hands up and said, fine, God, I'll try the Army. I gave up on Japan, figuring that wasn't even an option anymore. I wasn't happy, but at least I was going to have an education waiting. Oh, and maybe I'd learn something too. Unlike the other branches, the Army saw absolutely nothing wrong with me. They had zero concerns about my health, and they even let me pick what seemed like an awesome job as a satellite communications operator. Not only did they accept me, but they wanted me in basic training before the end of my school semester. God did not simply unlock this door. He opened it wide and threw me in. Before I knew it, I was shipping off to basic training, completely terrified and questioning my entire existence. At some point after basic, during my initial training, my spontaneous health issue miraculously healed, and I was asked to work in a subset of the field I had chosen as a satellite controller. What's amazing about this is they can only work in 6 places in the entire world. One of those places just so happened to be Okinawa, Japan. While overseas, the next 4 years of the Army pretty much flew by after that. I was the only woman of color out of the 10 women in the MOS around the world the entire time I served. That turned out to be a huge blessing in disguise. It made me work so much harder than I otherwise would have because I was competing with all the men. I was actually known as the company unicorn because A, I was a woman, B, I was fully capable of doing my job, which shouldn't be a shock, but for some reason it was, and C, I kept up and even surpassed many in physical fitness. I was truly blessed in that I was rarely treated in a disrespectful manner or taken advantage of. I got the chance to live with and work with a strange and wonderful group of nerdy soldiers with whom I'm so grateful to call my friends. God is amazing. The Army was not always sunshine and rainbows. But even in times of depression, lack of sleep, or low morale, I knew that I wasn't alone, figuratively or spiritually. Jeremiah 29:11, currently one of my favorite verses, says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." It took what is now 5.5 years in the Army to finally believe that wholeheartedly. My plans did not involve asking God his opinion or joining the Army. I wanted God to just come along and support me in whatever I chose. I'm so glad that's not how God works, because I'm so much better a person because of it. There's a song that I picked up as a kid that I've always loved, but it really took on new meaning in the Army. It's called God's Got It. Pretty much every time I was upset or nervous, like right now, I sang it. So to close, I'm going to sing to you this verse, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. When you feel you just can't see your way, God's got it. God's got it. No matter how dark the day, God's got it, and he'll make a way. Just wait on him, trust and never doubt. I know he will surely break you out. God's got it. God's got it in control. And that's all.
That's going to be tough to follow. So, I'm thankful to be here tonight and to be able to share with you my testimony of my time in the military. I served in the U.S. Navy for 4 years, from 1970 to 1974. So there's about over a 40-year difference between her term and my time in service. It was a good experience for me and helped shape who I am today. During those 4 years, I got married. My wife and I had our first child. I visited over 40 different countries while deployed on 3 extended cruises and several shorter ones, and matured as a man and as a Christian. To give you some background, I was attending Austin Peay State University and was engaged to be married before I joined. However, I had no focus or goals in school, and I was doing poorly, and knew that if I got married, I couldn't support a family. So, at the age of 18, before my mom or my fiance could talk me out of it, I walked down to the Navy recruiter's office in Clarksville and signed up. So after 14 weeks of basic training in San Diego, California, I moved on to Bainbridge, Maryland, where I attended radioman school. So then after 6 months in the Navy, I finally came to realize that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with Nancy, so we got married immediately after I finished school. We had 10 days together before I reported on board the USS Richard E. Krause, homeported in Charleston, South Carolina. My plans were to find a place for us to live and then bring my new wife to Charleston. However, the Navy had other plans. My ship pulled out 3 days after I reported on board and was gone for 45 days. When we returned, we were in port 30 days, then back out to sea for 6 months on an extended cruise to the Middle East and the Indian Ocean and the Persian Gulf. To summarize, Nancy and I spent a total of about 3 months together during our first year of marriage. I remained on the USS Krause for 3.5 years until I was discharged. In addition to the Middle East cruise, we were assigned to the Western Pacific for operations in Vietnam, and we traveled to the Mediterranean Sea for an extended cruise. While in Vietnam, our job was to raid harbors and supply depots north of the demilitarized zone. On one of those raids, in the middle of the night, while I was standing watch, our ship received a top secret message from Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, telling us to fall back south of the demilitarized zone and wait for further orders. 2 weeks after that, the peace treaty was signed, the war was over, and we returned home happily. My time at sea changed my life, but my life while in port also had an equal impact. While on extended cruises, we visited countries that were scenes of unbelievable poverty. Our definition of poverty here in the United States is much different from the rest of the world. In several African ports, in Brazil, and in Pakistan, I saw orphans begging on the streets. I saw homeless people, not just one here or there, but hundreds of homeless people sleeping at night on sidewalks, on benches, under benches, and in the grass. I saw entire communities of shanties in open fields, built with whatever could be found, tin, scrap wood, even cardboard, and the only access to water in these communities was a single open fire hydrant, which ran continuously. Another thing I saw in several countries I visited was that the cities were patrolled by soldiers in troop trucks, not policemen in squad cars. Freedom was very limited. So needless to say, I, as many other servicemen can testify, as many of you can testify, came to a whole new appreciation and love for this country, and was always ready to kiss the ground of the USA when I returned from a cruise. In addition to the poverty, I also saw the love of Christ being lived out in several places. I remember Brother Carl Moses, a missionary in Puerto Rico. At the USO in San Juan, he offered a free tour of the island in his old 10-passenger van. While on the tour, he shared Christ with us and invited us to eat supper with him in his home. He was led to minister both to the people of Puerto Rico and to the sailors who came into port. In a couple of different countries in the Mediterranean, I saw youth groups on mission trips, sharing God's word on the street and doing mission work to help those in need. In Mombasa, Kenya, I visited a sailor's rest mission, which was a place that reached out to sailors and offered an alternative, a spiritual alternative to the bars and that kind of life in town. As for my time in port in Charleston, Nancy and I joined a church that was recommended to us by a fellow sailor on our ship. I received Christ into my life before I joined the Navy, but it was at Northside Baptist Church that I was baptized and learned that salvation was only the beginning of my walk with Christ. To serve Christ is to find joy. And Northside was a place where everyone served in some capacity, and they served with joy. I became involved with the bus ministry there and saw the good that it did. And I suppose that's part of the reason why I work with the bus ministry here. It's more of a blessing to me than those who ride that bus. So in closing, I want to share one verse that I and the entire congregation at Northside Baptist memorized. It's Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God knows our hearts. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And if we read and study His Word, then we will come to know the power of His Word. We will come to know His love for us, and we will come to know what His plan is for our lives. And I did not realize that God was leading me like He was as I entered the Navy and as I met the people that I came upon in the Navy, but I can look back and truly see God's hand guiding me to meet those people and to learn from those people and to learn from His Word. Thank you.
You can be seated. Let's sing together, My Country, 'Tis of Thee.
My country, 'tis of Thee, sweet land of liberty, of Thee I sing.
conclude our time this evening together in a season of prayer, both spoken and then sung. And after we sing, we'll have watch a brief video entitled A Veterans Day Prayer, and then you'll be dismissed at that point. So let's say this prayer together to the Lord. Say it with me. We thank you, Almighty God, for the privilege of living in a country such as the United States of America. Keep foremost in our minds that the freedoms which we enjoy were bought through the unselfish sacrifices of those who have gone before us. As the strength of a country is in her people, let us never avoid our responsibility to maintain this nation as a beacon of hope and freedom to all mankind. Our God and God of our ancestors, we ask your blessing upon our country, on the leaders of our nation, and on all who exercise rightful authority in our community. Today, we remember the sacrifices of brave men and women and are grateful. But even more so, we remember the sacrifice of Christ, and we are humbled. May we never forget the cost of liberty, nor forget the cost of eternity. And in our remembering, may we commit to be people of courage and conviction, with you helping us. Amen. dismissed.